The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there, Nerd Clan. This episode of the Potterverse is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com. Of course, MinuteWithMary.com is your one-stop shop for all of your beauty, skincare, makeup needs. But I really want to encourage you to go to the Facebook, you know, the Facebook, now just known as Facebook for you youngins.
The Facebook.
And search hashtag Minute with Mary. Request to join my marvelous VIP group. I have a free, wonderful tips and tricks on how to help get you through wearing a mask and making sure you don't get a whole bunch of acne on your chin. Yes, it's a thing. Yes, it's called maskne. And yes, I'm here to help you. So search the hashtag Minute with Mary. And also, I wanted to let you know that I have a new item on discount for the month of September. It is my Twisted Mascara. It's my brand new mascara. You can get that at a discount since you're one of our loyal listeners. Head on over to MinuteWithMary.com/discount. Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to the Potterverse. It is a podcast dedicated to the book and film universe of Harry Potter. So grab your favorite wands and time turners and let's step into the night and pursue that flighty temptress adventure. How's it going? My name is Mary Larson.
My name's Blake.
And?
I'm nervous.
About what?
I'm super nervous.
Oh my gosh.
There's been a challenge posted to me. Well, given to me.
Yeah?
Well, I give actually really to the listeners of this podcast and all of Mary and Blake Media listeners. For those of you who are listening to the podcast right now on the app, a challenge has been given where if we get 510 patrons, I will have to wear a frackin' Hufflepuff t-shirt.
Yes.
Live on air for the entire world to see.
Shared in all sorts of places.
Time immemorial, it will live there. And not only that, I will have to say whatever you guys want me to say for my intro. So normally when I say, and my name is Blake, and
...
you guys get to pick what I say.
Oh my gosh, it's so juicy. So all of you Hufflepuffs...
We're not that far away, by the way.
All of you Hufflepuffs who have to just deal with Blake as he snubs your house...
Yeah, get out of here, you puffs.
Band together and go to jointhenerdclan.com. Seriously, it's as little as $2 a month. It's less than a cup of coffee. It keeps the podcast going. We want to thank all of you who are already patrons, who have been able to listen to our Crown podcast, who've been able to listen to our Outlander cast episodes early. Mm-hmm. You guys, they're also getting Blake's book club of Midnight Sun. So there's loads of fun perks at jointhenerdclan.com. But most importantly, if we get to 510 people, Blake will don a Hufflepuff shirt. And I challenge our friends who are listening here now live to get us to that number by the end of this episode.
Well, I think that is certainly we are not that far off. And
my maniacal laughter.
And the early favorite for my line is, my name's Blake and I'm Team Hufflepuff for life.
Ooh, yeah.
That is what the listeners right now are saying. And another favorite right now comes from Denise. She's putting this in right now. I have to sing the Hoggy Hoggy Hogwarts song.
Yes, please.
I am out on the Hoggy Hoggy Hogwarts song.
Even more so.
Nope. Ain't doing it. The good news is.
Yeah.
Ain't going to happen by the end of the night.
Oh.
No way.
I challenge you. Well, have it happen by the next episode. How fun would that be?
If it happens by the next episode, I still ain't singing the Hoggy Hogwarts song.
Yes, you will, if that is what they choose. So today we are talking about Chapter 2 in Book 2, Chamber of Secrets. And I have a really important question for you.
What do you got?
How do you pronounce the elf's name?
Dobby.
See, I say Dobby too. Is it because they're from New England? Because a lot of people call him Dobby.
It ain't Dobby. When I think of Dobie, I think of Dobie Gillis.
I think that would be spelled D-O-O-B-B-Y.
That'd be Dobie.
Dobie. How would you spell Dobby? I say Dobby.
It's Dobby.
Dobby.
Yeah.
But is it because we're from the Boston, New York area that we say it that way?
No, it ain't Dobby.
Some people say Dobby.
Well, that's... They're
like
out of
Doe
their,
a Deer.
Out of their mind.
Like Doe a Deer,
Doe is spelled D-O-E, Doe.
So... I will find out.
If it was Dobby, it would be D-O-U-G-H-B-Y, Dobby.
I say Dobby. So from here on out,
or if it was D-O-B-E, Dobby.
If you're a Dobby person, please just ignore the fact that he, from here on out, and he's here for a while, is Dobby. This chapter is called Dobby's Warning.
Dobby's Warning.
Dobby's. Dobby comes up. Dobby's just eating some chips down in the kitchen with Dumbledore.
Oh, Kelly Clarkson. Sorry.
My gosh, Blake, way too loud. No, 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 squeaked Dobby, shaking his head so hard his ears flapped. Harry Potter must stay safe where he is. He is too great, too good to lose. If Harry Potter goes back to Hogwarts, he will be in mortal danger. Why? Said Harry in surprise. There is a plot, Harry Potter, a plot to make most terrible things happen at Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry this year, whispered Dobby, suddenly trembling all over. Dobby has known it for months, sir. Harry Potter must not put himself in peril. He is too important, sir.
Is it me? It might be me. It might be me.
Okay.
Kind of out on Dobby in this chapter.
You know he's one of my top three favorite characters,
I do
right?
know. I do know. And so do the listeners.
I hope that you have somewhere else to sleep tonight, is all I'm saying.
Kind of out on Dobby in this chapter.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Leave me alone. I'm just going to flip to the next part that we're going to talk. We would love to remind you all to subscribe to this podcast, as now you are shaming Hufflepuffs and Dobby. I can't with you right now. You are
If I'm going down, I'm going down in glory. I'll tell you that.
I'm just going to call you Malfoy at this point. My goodness gracious. Please take the time to hit subscribe in your podcast app of choice. If this banter is enjoyable to you, I don't know how it is, but if somehow this banter between myself and this slithering next to me here brings you joy, we actually have a slew of other podcasts. You can check that out at maryandblake.com. And once again, we would love to encourage you to join at jointhenerdclan.com. Let's get into the show.
I solemnly swear that I'm up to no good.
I just have to say, for the sake of posterity here, okay?
We're about to fight, yes.
A bunch of people in the group that are watching us live right now, yeah. Also out on Dobby. Also out on Dobby. It's okay. It's fine, Mary. It's fine to not like Dobby.
It's fine. It's fine. It's like not liking tacos. Fine. You just can't be my friend.
Anna Spain says, really, Blake? You like Frank and Snape, and now you're out on Dobby?
Okay.
Oh, man.
What? Why don't you like Dobby in this chapter, Blake?
I'm out on Dobby
just
because...
Just go for it.
I don't know what his function is.
I mean, or do you want me to give my little, like, here's what happened
episode. Why don't you give me this? Yep.
I'm so frazzled, I don't even know what I'm talking about right now. Goodness gracious. So Dobby, who we find out is a house elf, this is the first house elf that Harry has ever met before. He's in Harry's room to warn him that he is in great peril, and he's doing everything that he possibly can to keep Harry from going back to school, including messing up the Dursleys' dinner party downstairs and suddenly apparating away.
Mm-hmm. Jane Baker says he's kind of Jar Jar Binks-ish. Would you give him Jar Jar Binks' level of annoyance?
No.
No, you wouldn't. That doesn't mean that I don't like Dobby... Later in the books, just in this chapter, like I never got the whole beating himself up thing, and I don't know what his function is. I don't know what he's supposed to do.
Wait, are you being serious?
I'm very serious.
Or are you just hating?
I'm a little bit of both, but it's mostly serious.
Okay. Would you like to like roll with your point a little bit so then I can just rip it to shreds?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. no, I'm kind of out on Dobby because he shows up and he's trying to get Harry to stay away from Hogwarts.
Yeah.
And he's doing the snap thing majiggy, and he's making the cake fall or levitate the cake. And then, but he's also saying, Harry, I took all your letters, but oh, by the way, here are all your letters. And, yeah, you can't go. Can't tell you why, but you can't go. It's annoying.
Yeah, it is supposed to be annoying.
It's annoying, but it's annoying on a story level for me because it's like he's there to do what he's just supposed to do, and that is it. And it's just too neat and clean, and it's just like it. And it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense that he took all the letters. How is he getting all these letters? Where is he? Is he intercepting owls?
Probably.
How? He's a house elf.
House elves actually have some magic that wizards don't even have.
I'm sure.
House elves can apparate and disapparate out of Hogwarts, which is a building that wizards can't even.
That doesn't
out
mean
of.
He gets letters. And if he didn't want to bring the if he didn't want Harry to have the letters, why is he bringing the letters with him?
Well, because now he just told him the truth. He's like, listen, you can have these here now, but I was trying to make you like not excited, and obviously that wasn't working. Here's what I'm going to say to you, Blake. I think you have less appreciation for how inappropriately treated house elves are because you didn't read book four.
Listen, I'm not going to join the little group that Hermione
spew.
Does. Spew, yeah. I ain't joining Spew. That is something that you would totally do, by the way.
Exactly.
You'd be like, oh, it's Spew. It's Spew's the best.
You know what?
House elves. Like, guaranteed that'd be you.
I was into Spew before Spew was even a thing. When I sat here and I saw Dobby saying he has to hurt himself because he is devoted to this family who treats him poorly, here, I think, was a really important thing for Harry, who we've been learning has to eat through a cat door. He's eating cold soup out of a can, giving the veggies to Hedwig. He finds someone who is treated more poorly than him. And we are still able to see how kind Harry Potter is. Mm-hmm. You know, like, if we had any doubt, because now at this point he's a 12-year-old boy. 12-year-olds, 11, 12, 13, 14, boys, girls, whomever, any kind of folks who are of that middle school, early high school age, one of the key things that happen is they become very selfish. And it's just generally what happens between the hormones and their brains and everything happening. It's very hard for them to see outside their own scope. So here is Harry, who is meeting this creature, this person, for the first time in his life, who's creating a lot of issues for him, who's stealing his letters, who's really trying to keep him from Hogwarts. Uh-huh. And yet Harry realizes that this creature, this house elf, that Dobby, is treated so poorly, mm-hmm, that Harry has immense pity on him. And I think that it's important for Dobby in this chapter because of Dobby's pain and because he's being so tortured and Harry doesn't fully understand, we get to see this really beautiful side of Harry that I think, sure, is really important. We get to see a lot of sides of Harry in the books.
Yes.
You know, like we frequently joke about Order of the Phoenix being emo Harry. We get to see really frustrated and feeling left out of things Harry. But in this moment, you get to see him not be shocked or weirded out by something completely bizarre, mm-hmm, but more compassion. And I think that that's really an important thing for us to see.
Well, I think there are two things that come out of this, actually. And you know, again, I was mostly telling the truth about the being out on Dobby. Part of it, about like, you know, a tenth of it was kidding. But I will say what I did like in this chapter is two things. One, it leads to a point in the wizarding world that there really is some real ugly stuff that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And not just, oh, you know, like there's Draco and the Malfoys and then there's Voldemort and, you know, pure blood's the whole thing. Actually, we haven't even gotten to that point in the books yet. But like, yes, there's that. But that is just, that's like wizard versus wizard. That's,
yeah,
this is really something that,
this is like a societal.
Yeah, this shows a real societal fracture in how
that there's slavery.
A certain group of people is disenfranchised.
Mm-hmm. And we find out much later it's not just a certain group of people. Like whole other breeds of magical creatures,
right?
With great intelligence, are ostracized,
right? And that this is the beginning of that. This is the beginning of that.
You're coming to the Spew side. I'm feeling it.
So I like that.
I'll make you a Spew t-shirt.
I don't think I'm going to wear a Spew shirt. Every time I hear the word Spew, I think of Wayne's World. If you're going to spew into this.
Okay.
And he holds the little ketchup packet thing, ketchup cup. The other part I really like about this, too, is that Harry's reaction to Dobby is really genuine. What can I do? Can I help you? Can anyone help you? Can I fix this? And that leads to a much larger tapestry that's being woven for Harry and his environment at Hogwarts. Mm. And eventually how we get into Dumbledore's army and how we get into the whole thing, banding kids together to fight Voldemort and fight against Snape and all of it. This is the very beginning of that. And it's very small and it's very subtle. If you blink and you'll miss it, Harry saying, "Can I fix this?"
Yeah.
But it's there, and this is the beginning of that.
So we, of course, learn that Dobby is a house elf and that the only way he can be free and be helped is he has to be set free. You know, and Harry's even saying, like, "How can I help you? Can I do it?" "No, we can't." Dobby then goes in and explains to him, you know, as I said in that quote earlier, that Harry's in grave peril. Like, bad, bad things are going to happen. And one of my favorite things is that Harry says, you know, "Is it Voldemort? You know who?" And Harry says, "He hasn't got a brother, has he?" Like, Harry's really trying to figure out, like, who have I've been part of this wizarding world now for a year. I don't know of anyone else that could be this bad, you know? And as you said, this is our first glimpse into the fact that, like, societal structure in the wizarding world isn't all sunshine and daisies.
Sure.
And now we're learning, yeah, there's, like, punky kids at school, but there's actually other great dark things. And so Dobby says, Albus Dumbledore is the greatest headmaster Hogwarts ever had. Dobby knows it, sir. Dobby has heard Dumbledore's powers rival those of you who must not be named at the height of his strength. But, sir, there are powers Dumbledore doesn't. Powers no decent wizard." What he's talking about right now is a Horcrux.
Why do you say that?
Because the book is a Horcrux. He's saying that there's powers
that
Dumbledore doesn't do.
Got it. Okay.
That no decent wizard, whether it's the Horcrux or opening of the Chamber of Secrets with this Horcrux.
Yep.
Maybe Lucius Malfoy doesn't necessarily know the book is a Horcrux, but they know that this opens the chamber. And the only person who can open the chamber is the heir of Slytherin, right?
Got
so.
It.
That is a power that Dumbledore doesn't have.
Sure.
That these decent wizards wouldn't have. They wouldn't be letting this basilisk in the chamber be open. So it's really interesting that Dobby, what we would think of as just a mere house elf, understands the severity of the situation. That he's been maybe like mopping the floors or serving the meals while Lucius and others have talked about, like, this book has major stuff going on. And this is why I'm thankful for Dobby. Because there are a few people in history who, you know, have that little spy, you know, knowledge where it's like, I need to let this be known. People are in grave peril and they risk their lives to do this. But because of the enslavement issue that house elves have, they have to hurt themselves if they go against their master's need, their master's desires. So it's definitely a weird situation to be running into. And I mean, gosh, when you first watch that movie and you just see Dobby like hitting his head against the bureau, you're like, this is really, really awkward to watch. And then Harry gets in trouble because Dobby's causing an absolute ruckus upstairs. And Vernon Dursley comes up. And I didn't realize Vernon Dursley was into racist jokes, but he says, "You've ruined the punchline of my favorite Japanese golfer joke. One more sound and you'll wish you'd never been born, boy." Of course he would have a Japanese golfer joke.
Different time.
Gracious.
Different time. Different time.
No, it wasn't that different of a time. And still, Vernon Dursley, of course, would. He's a schmuck. but like you said, he finds out he has all of his letters And Dobby then threatens, like, we're going to have to do this. We're going to have to get rid of this masterpiece of a pudding. And Harry begs him. He says, please, they'll kill me. And Dobby insists. He's like, no, not unless you tell me you're not going to go back to school. And I'm wondering, would Harry have been able to lie and say, fine, fine, I won't go? And would he have been able to break that promise with Dobby? Like, if he was like, fine, just don't break the pudding.
Harry lies often. Harry lies when it's for the greater good. Mm-hmm. The question is, do you define what your scenario is as the greater good?
Or if it's just for a selfish reason, like himself, is that not good enough? Yeah, like, why can he lie in other times? Why is he afraid to lie to Dobby and say, sure, I won't go?
Again, because it's for the greater good. It's for the, it's knowing the difference between what's best for the wizarding community as a whole or what's best for Hogwarts, mm-hmm. writ large, or just doing something for selfish reasons. Harry lying is selfish for his self, and lying for his self is selfish. And what we've learned from the first books, and what I think what will continue to be explored in this book, is that there's a stark difference between Gryffindor and Slytherin. Gryffindor is usually for the common good. Slytherin is for selfishness. The Sorcerer's Stone itself was for selfishness, to give you everlasting life or to make anything turn into gold. Those are all done for selfish purposes. So the theme of it all would suggest that Harry simply cannot lie or will not lie based on what his character relates to in selfishness.
I mean, I'll be honest, as a like Gryffindor, true and true, meaning every single possible quiz that I have ever seen and taken online has totally put me in Gryffindor, I would have lied. In that very moment,
yeah,
already getting my food through a cat food door and it's just cold canned soup and bars in my window, I would have totally fibbed to this weird elf that I just met. Mm-hmm. I would have said, sure, sure, man. Like, how was, I don't even know if I was going to be able to go to Hogwarts at this point. And now we get into this issue where Dobby does this magic.
Hold on, before you do that, Jennifer here on Facebook says, maybe instinctually Harry thinks lying to Dobby would be as inappropriate as how others have treated Dobby.
Oh.
Harry certainly has experience with being treated poorly.
Yeah. Okay, I could appreciate that. Well, Dobby doing magic in Harry's house not only causes the scene and ruins the dinner party, but it gets Harry in some pretty serious trouble with the Ministry of Magic.
What I don't understand is why do they think that it's Harry doing the magic when it's Dobby?
I don't think elves' magic is tracked, if at all.
Then how would they know that magic was done?
Because magic was done inside the residence. Like, I think that they're able to figure out that magic has happened. But as you will find out in book 4 as well, there are times that elves can do magic in a different way than wizards can.
Okay.
And so I think that the trace of magic, and they know exactly what it was. They know that it was the hover charm. And I think that Harry's house is just like Harry Potter lives there because he's the only wizard. You know what I mean?
Got it. Okay.
So maybe it's not really that highly monitored. It's just like obviously no other magic's going to go in there. It's muggles and Harry. Mm-hmm. But he gets in pretty serious trouble by Mathilda Hopkirk, who just so you know, Mathilda Hopkirk is who Hermione changes into when they have to break into the Ministry of Magic.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, sincerely. Mathilda Hopkirk. Yep.
Wow. Look at that.
I know. It's just interwoven. I'm telling you, this author, she knows her stuff.
She gets it, man.
So, what we also learned this. So in chapter 2, you know, we had all this merriment in the early chapters of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone and going to Diagon Island. It was such like a magical experience. And here we are now, a year later. Harry's birthday was just the worst birthday ever. We're learning about cruel wizards who mm-hmm. torture and, you know, have enslaved elves. And now we're also learning how seriously in trouble Harry can be for just doing a little bit of magic in his house. That if he does this again, further spell work on your part may lead to expulsion from your school.
Or worse, expel.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And by getting this letter via owl, which scares the house guests away, Vernon and the family now know that hocus pocus figgity wiggity or whatever doesn't actually mean anything.
Squiggly wiggly.
That Harry can't do magic at all. Right. So now they've got this whole like, oh, ho, ho, ho.
Right.
We've been nervous about you this entire time. And yeah, we're gonna lock you away. And that's what they do.
And I think there are two things at play here that I really like also about this chapter. The first is Harry is now at a new low, a brand new low. You thought he was low before, getting frying pans swung at his head. Absolutely not. Now he is in a worse position with the Dursleys, and he is almost going to be expelled. He's got this thing with Dobby. He doesn't know what Dobby's talking about. He's in danger. Like, don't go to Hogwarts. His friends haven't been talking to him, though he understands now that it was Dobby withholding the letters. So he's at an all-time new low. If you think that he is Harry Potter, the kid who beat Voldemort, you're wrong. He's now down in the dumps. Secondly, another thing that I like, too, and I can't wait to get your thoughts on this, Mary, is the author does a very smart thing with the beginning of this book. Just because Harry was in Hogwarts for the first year doesn't mean that he's an expert. Doesn't mean that he's an expert in magic or the culture of magic or even the wizarding world in general. He's still got a lot of things to learn. He's still... I'm sure there are parts of Hogwarts he hasn't even been to yet. He hasn't even seen yet. Harry is discovering more about the wizarding world with each day.
Mm-hmm.
The best part about it is we're doing that too through Harry's eyes. So when I was last asked and we had the conversation about exposition.
Yes.
And Mary went savage mode. I was asked, how would you do exposition better? And this is a perfect way to do it. You're learning about the world of wizarding and all the facets that go along with it because Harry's discovering it for the first time. So since he's discovering it for the first time and since technically, you know, the reader who would be reading this book for the first time would be discovering it along with Harry, that is an interesting way to get all the expository stuff out of the way so that when you go back to Hogwarts, you have a better understanding not only of the area and what it means to be a wizard, but you have a clearer understanding of where the story is going to go.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I like about this chapter.
Nice.
So, yeah.
You know, I think that Dobby made some really intelligent choices. You see him acting so oddly and banging his head up against a wall, and you question his choices as to why he's doing this. But he's done choice things that he knew would hurt Harry Potter. He has kept back all of this correspondence. He has done a specific charm that gets noticed by the Ministry of Magic. Because in the next book, I don't think he gets an owl with a letter. So, you know, because he's able to apparate and disapparate, and that wasn't caught, but he did the hover charm. And I wonder if there's, like, certain charms that need to be done. Like, maybe he could have done something else. Maybe he could have just, like, titched it over. But he specifically did a hover charm so that way it would be called out and notified. So he's getting this letter saying, you may be expelled.
Sure.
You know, and so maybe this was kind of like his last chance. Like, all right, then I'm going to get you in trouble with the Ministry of Magic. And maybe that will prevent you from going to school.
Mm-hmm.
This still is Harry's birthday.
Yes, you're right.
Can we just take a moment?
Yep.
And his birthday is about to get better. Because here he is, all locked up. No, it doesn't get better. Sorry.
He's got bad dreams. He's got bad dreams.
He's got bad dreams. And 3 days later, so that'll be what? August 4th. Sure. Oh, look at this. We're almost recording around the same time. Ron Weasley comes to save him.
We're about a month away, kid. From August 4th.
It's September, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Is it still March?
Hey, Mary.
Uh-huh.
Shame.
There you go.
I am so glad I bought 3 planners for this year. I did. I bought 3. I should take a picture of them.
Oh, wow. June 26th. We're recording like right near it, aren't we?
Those were all so useful.
How to tell when the hosts aren't living.
I thought I was going to be so good this year. No.
Oh, man. Oh. Got anything else you want to say about this chapter, kid?
Just really, I just wanted to point out still like that I love that Dobby, even though this was very hard for him, and it went against everything that a house elf is supposed to do, and he was hurt in the process, he had something inside of him telling him to do the right thing, to sacrifice himself. Oh, Dobby. To make sure that he could protect Harry Potter. We know that it is not necessarily Voldemort, but it's something very, very deep and dark and bad. And as I said, the compassion of Harry Potter in this chapter blows me away.
Last thing I noticed about this chapter is it ends with Ron Weasley was outside Harry's window.
Yep.
Which is great. Super cute. Awesome. But if you notice the end of the first chapter,
somebody else was on his bed.
Somebody was sitting on his bed.
This is hurry up and turn the page. You can't put this book down.
But I like it because both these chapters, they're very, like, I think this could have been one chapter if you really wanted it to be.
Agreed.
But the author does this really cool thing where she has the first chapter end in mystery and you're in a slight danger. Like, yeah. Who is this?
Mm-hmm.
But in this one, she ends it in a similar fashion, but you know who it is, and it is one of warmth and love and friendship.
Yeah.
So they are companion pieces, but they do different things, and I like that a lot.
And Harry now gets to see his best bud.
That's right. Okay, are you ready get in? Do you have a different perspective?
Do you?
I do. I definitely do.
Go for it.
All right.
Holy cricket! You're Harry Potter! I'm Hermione Granger. And you are?
I am Dudley. I am Dudley. You want to know why I'm Dudley?
Please.
Because I got you, Harry. I got you. You are dead to rights.
No more hocus pocus.
No more squeakly freaking weagly. You are mine.
I'm jiggery
gonna,
pokery.
Jiggery. I'm going to jiggery
squiggly
poke you.
Wiggly.
I'm going to squiggle your wiggly. You are fish in a barrel right now, and I'm going to own you. I'm going to own you for the rest of your life because you can't do magic. None of that. And yeah, that little pigtail that I got, yeah.
Now it's off.
Against the rules, it's off, and I'm ready to fight. I got registered weapons right here with my hands, and you're done. You're done. And I'm going to make your life misery.
How miserable do you think Dudley was when the pudding had fallen down?
That kid was so... You ruined the pudding. If there's one thing you don't get in between, between me and something, that's... You do not get in between me and pudding. Look at me. Look at me. I'm Dudley.
Love me some pudding.
I am 10 pounds of stuff in a 5-pound bag, okay? Give me my pudding. You can keep the broccoli. You can keep your Brussels sprouts. They make my pee stink. I don't want that.
But now I'm not going to be a fruit bat, and I'm going to go to town.
Yep, and I'm gonna have my pudding and beat the crap out of you. As a matter of fact, I'm gonna take the Brussels sprouts.
Be careful.
And I'm gonna put them in your mouth as I'm beating your life.
Okay, Blake. I just said be careful.
I'm just gonna make you a mental midget. Like I'm going to make you.
That's not a politically correct word anymore.
I am going to make you so paranoid that you aren't even going to be able to function. You're out. You're done.
Can I be done with Dudley?
Nope. I'm going to keep going.
I'm so off with you right now. Ever since you said you were out on Dobby. What is a pudding?
What do you mean?
What is a pudding? It's not the kind of pudding I eat. My pudding comes out of a package.
It comes out of a Jell-O box.
Mix it with some milk. Preferably lactate milk. Put in the fridge. Gets a little hard.
Rachel says poor people parfait.
Yeah.
That's a good joke from This Is Us Too.
What is pudding? Please, if any of you eat pudding, of this variety, please let me know. Maybe send me a picture. MarianBlakeMedia@gmail.com. On that note, speaking about emails, I'm pivoting for you, Blake, to
Thank
save you.
Thank you. So now this is the point in time, ladies and gents, where if you have a question for us, now is the time to do it. If you are on the live, make sure you put a little lightning bolt before the question. That way we know what it is. And if you are listening to the podcast on the app, you're not alone. You can still participate.
Not alone.
You can send us an email and email it to marianblakemedia@gmail.com. And you will be able to ask us any questions. If you want to ask me about my registered weapons for my hands, then baby, I'll give you the serial number, okay? But if you want to ask us any questions about this chapter, previous chapters, or the next chapter, you're more than welcome to do so. Email us at marianblakemedia@gmail.com. Now, Mary, it is time for the questions.
Okay.
Oh, Miles here.
All right, so let's see what we got here. Nobody on the live is giving us questions.
Well,
at this
our
moment.
Question in the beginning of this episode was, what was your favorite kind of cake?
Oh, yes. My favorite cake of all time?
Favorite cake.
Gotta be Greg's chocolate layer cake.
So good.
Greg's is a local restaurant in the Rhode Island area, and it has the best cake on this planet. And they
Agreed.
Give you these enormous portions. It's like, you'd like, okay, think of a normal size piece of cake that you take in your plate and like triple it.
Yeah,
and
no
that's
doubt.
What they give
triple
you.
It.
They mm-hmm. give you like maybe a fifth of each cake.
It's incredible.
It's awesome. And it's multi-layers, and they got the best chocolate frosting. I don't know how they make it. It's incredible.
Oh, how our friend you? Bridget, her husband makes them. He's a baker there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, Bridget, I'll pay your husband to come here and make me the cakes. All right, Asenath. And Mary, what's your favorite cake?
My favorite cake is a peanut butter chocolate cake.
At Greg's?
Yeah.
If you put peanut butter with chocolate in any form,
yep,
that's Mary's favorite thing.
Agreed.
In any form. Doesn't matter what it is.
I've actually made chocolate, peanut butter, yogurt, oatmeal. And it's so good. You're welcome, Blake.
So I can't say that stuff when I'm taking a drink, because that's ridiculous.
Yep.
That sounds awful.
With Greek yogurt. Even better. Okay, stop.
Shame.
Why shame me? I need that bell. Let's get to the questions.
All right, let's see what we got. All right, Asenath says, Mary and Blake, what do you guys think their house elves' lives were like before Voldemort?
Oh, I think they were the same. I think that there are families who can just have treated their house elves poorly, and that's just how it's always been. I would hope that there are families out there who treat their house elves in a better way. But what is interesting is in the book series, aside from Hogwarts, we only see house elves owned by bad Slytherin families.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's quite interesting that we don't see them necessarily with Luna Lovegood. We don't have like a hand-me-down house elf hanging out with the Weasleys. But yet there's a bunch of them at Hogwarts. Now, granted, we learn from one of the house elves later on that some of the house elves like living at Hogwarts, that it's a pretty nice environment compared to where they could be otherwise. But I do find it to be an interesting experience, and I feel like this is probably how it has always been.
Anna asks, how did Lucius get the book?
That is a really good question. I think Lucius... I'll get back to you in a hot second, Blake.
Yeah, okay. So I have no idea how Lucius got the book. I don't even think...
I think he got it from...
I don't think it's explored in the films either. I think he just has it in the film and gives it to Ginny.
Oh, okay. It says online that Lucius was given the diary by Voldemort himself for safekeeping at first, then ultimately to smuggle it, obviously. Hold on. Let me do a little bit more digging. Keep reading.
So for another question we have also is, when are we going live next? That's a really good question. It's actually something that Mary and I talked about. And the reason why there is a question about it is that Wednesday is the day that we would normally go live to do the Potterverse. However, However, it is our children's first day of school on Wednesday. So I don't know how that night is going to be. It's probably going to be bananas. Having said that, we will get back to you. It may be Thursday when we go live, or it may be even Friday, depending on how the week is going with our children going back to school for the first time in 100 and whatever days. So that is that. Mary, you got the answer yet?
Okay, so on a website, once again,
just some website.
It says, you know, that Lord Voldemort gave it to Lucius without telling him that there was a fragment of his soul inside. And Malfoy had that diary. He gave it to him before, of course, he fell and had the issue with Harry Potter. His hope was that he would be able to use it to open the Chamber of Secrets. So Malfoy just knew he needed to get it back into Hogwarts. Mm-hmm. So Voldemort told him, I'm trying to get this into Hogwarts. Can you hold on to it for me for a hot second?
Yeah.
And then Malfoy thought it was time.
All right. Danielle asks, of all the Hogwarts food, what would you like to try most?
Oh, I mean, I want to try Hogwarts pumpkin pasties.
Yep.
I would like to try a sweet pudding, I think, too, because I don't really know about puddings.
Yeah.
I mean, puddings are mentioned in, I think, at least 5 of the books.
Yeah, just give me a nice chocolate pudding. I'm happy with that.
And just give me some of that Jell-O stuff.
Yeah, give me the Jell-O stuff.
All right.
And I like the how it gets a little, like, if it's not all mixed completely, it gets a little like the chocolate, like,
you're gross,
coagulates a little bit. Oh, it's great. It's the best. let's see. Brittany asks, do people breed house elves? That's really messed up if you think about it.
I don't know.
Like, how do they populate themselves?
No idea.
Like,
I'll get back to you on that one when we get closer to spew conversation.
Anna asks, do you love or hate the elves like Dobby? Do you hate Dobby after finding out what he is doing with Harry from the beginning? Like, Harry is kind of hating him until book 7.
I've always loved Dobby.
Yep.
No, you have not, Blake.
No, I'm saying you have. I agree. Oh. You would love him.
Because I think, like, if I knew that someone, if I knew a child, because Dobby's old.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa seems old. Granted, he's a little whimsical and a little, you know, just precious in the mind. But, like, if I knew that there was deathly harm coming to Hogwarts, oh, man, I would probably want to save that kid.
Let's see. Do you think, this one comes from Hannah, do you think they should have included more about Spew or the house elves in the movies? It seems like a really helpful layer, even if just a couple of more lines.
I don't, because I don't think we were able to get a lot of the emotionality out of all of the house elves that would have been needed. I think that 4 was such a long book. Was it 4? Yeah, it was 4 that Spew came about. I think that 4 was such a long book. We had to get the main point of 4 was Voldemort at the end. So I think if we had Spew and all these other things, it would have just taken up way too much time.
Mm-hmm. That looks about to be it for the questions for the live today.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. And as we say all the time, please feel free to email us. We'd love to have your questions. Come on in, maryandblakemedia@gmail.com. And on that note, I think we're going to be closing out the show.
Yeah, let's do it.
Thank you all for taking the time to read along. As you know, these past 2 chapters have been super quick, nice and fun and easy. Of course, we're taking a wonderful trip in the next chapter. We're going to the Weasley's home, the Burrow, for the first time, which I love anytime that I get at the Burrow. So don't forget to send us those questions.
I feel like the Burrow smells like cinnamon.
Agreed.
Yeah, like that's what you smell when you go into the Burrow.
Nutmeg too, possibly.
Maybe a little nutmeg here and there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, maybe on a spicy day, you're getting some cloves.
Just like Christmas.
Yeah, just Christmas. That's what it smells like.
Agreed.
Yep. Pine.
All right, my friends. Thank you so much for tuning in. You bring us so much joy. Thank you for checking out the Potterverse. As we said, we have a lot of things going on at maryandblake.com, so check that out. Thank you to any and all of you who are members at jointhenerdclan.com.
Yes, thank you, everybody. Make sure you go to jointhenerdclan.com. If you want to see me in a Hufflepuff t-shirt and you get to pick what I have to say, that is what you have to do. We have to get to 510 members over there. Right now, I think we're at 485. We just got 2 while we were on the podcast.
Keep it going. Keep it going. My name's Mary Larson.
My name's Blake.
Mischief Managed.